We're turning in our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel on chapter 11, on the last three verses of that chapter. Verses 28 to 30 of Matthew's Gospel on chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen, and God will bless his inspired word. Yes, in the previous verses we noticed last week, God hides the gospel from the worldly wise and the sophisticated. He hides it by its own simplicity. And he reveals the gospel unto babes, unto ordinary, normal people, sinners, verse 25. Why does God do this? Well, because he wants to. Because he says it's good. He is the sovereign God, and he can do whatever he wants with his gospel. Verse 26. And all the whole gospel of redemption, this plan of redemption, is put into the hands of Jesus Christ and him alone. And no one knows God. No one knows God as Father except through Jesus Christ revealing God as Father to him or her. Verse 27. Salvation is in Christ alone, not in Muhammad, not in Buddha, not in anybody else, but Jesus Christ alone. Now, we come to the gospel call, the offer of salvation. Jesus Christ invites sinners to come to him in this well-known section of Scripture. This was one of the sections of Scripture we had to memorize in the faith mission. Jesus says to the people after all this chapter and all this teaching, and yes, the bitter is hard on the cities around Galilee for their hardness of heart. And at the end he says to these people, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to notice three things from this section. Number one, we have the gospel call preached in verse 28. Number two, we have gospel peace found in verse 28 and 29. And thirdly, we have the gospel path walked in verse 29 and 30, or if you prefer it, it could be the gospel life lived. But it's the same thing. Number one, the gospel call preached. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a gracious invitation. What a genuine invitation. What do the words mean? Come means come here. It's a verb in the imperative tense. It's a command. Come unto me, all ye that labour It's worth noting these two words, labour and heavy laden. The first one is labour. Come unto me, all you that labour. Now this word means you're wearied. Physically labouring, because it's a present active participle. You're working, you're actively labouring. You're wearied in labouring. Come unto me, all you that are labouring and heavy laden, loaded or burdened. Now this is worth noting because the first word is present active participle. You're labouring, you're working and wearied. But this verb is different. You're heavy laden, you're loaded, is a perfect passive participle. Now that, a perfect in the Greek tense of the verb, the perfect means a past tense thing. Something that happened in the past, but it's not just past tense. It means something that happened in the past, once for all, never to be repeated. And it's a passive. So these people are labouring and heavy laden with something that happened in the past once for all, never to be repeated, and they are passive in the receiving of this thing. In other words, it's not something that you do, it's something that's done to you. It's something that happened to you once for all in the past, and you were passive, it's done to you. It's talking about original sin. You're loaded. You're weighed down once and forever. You're born that way in the past, once forever, never to be repeated, born in sin, and you're passive in it. You're born that way, you haven't even sinned, but you're already a sinner when you're born. When we put those words together, here's what the Lord is saying. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and laboring in life, burdened and loaded down by sin, original inherited sin. And that's what you're laboring to be rid of. You don't like it, you want to be better, but you're laboring, greatly burdened, heavy laden with original sin. Note in the verse, who does Jesus Christ invite to come to him? He invites all who are tired and wearied by the burden of sin. He doesn't just say, come unto me all, full stop. He says, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden. All who are burdened by sin. The gospel, therefore, is to be offered to all sinners. All sinners who are sensible of their sin. And sensible means in the area of sensitivity, they're aware. So all who know and are conscious that they are sinners, Jesus invites them to come to him. You see, he came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now verse 28 is perfectly illustrated in Bunyan's wee book, Pilgrim's Progress. You remember Pilgrim? He starts off with this great burden on his back. He didn't put it there. It was there. It's the burden of his sin. He was passive when he received it. And no matter what he did, he can't get rid of the burden. There's only one way to get rid of the burden of sin. You have to go through the narrow gate. You have to come to the place of the cross, and there his burden rolls away. He's labouring to be rid of the burden, which he didn't put there. And it only is taken away when he comes to the cross. That's exactly it. Come unto me, all you that are labouring and heavy laden. You're weary trying to get rid of the heavy laden burden that you didn't place upon yourself, original sin. Jesus, come to me and I'll give you rest. So that's the gospel call preached. Jesus calls all those who are tired and physically weary under the heavy laden burden of sin that happened once for all in the past. The sin that was put upon them and done to them when they were passive by Adam's fall. Come unto me, all you who are tired in sin, tired of guilt, weary and exhausted, toiling against sin and the weariness that costs, burdened in your conscience. Matthew Henry, the Puritan, says about this verse, all those and those only are invited to rest in Christ that are sensible of sin as a burden and do groan under it, that are not only convinced of the evil of sin, but are contrite in their soul for sin. End of quote. The second point this morning is this. The gospel peace found. That's in the two references in verse 28 and 29. The Lord invites these people to come and he says, and I will give you rest. You shall find rest unto or for your souls. Jesus invites those who are laboring to be rid of the burden of sin to come unto me, that's the gospel call, to come to him for salvation. But then what? Then there's this promise, I will give you rest. Rest, as opposed to struggle. Rest, as opposed to the weariness of the burden. Rest, as opposed to laboring futilely against the burden. Rest against the terror of sin, which is judgment, and rest from the power of sin, sin's control, the dominion. Sin shall not have the dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. We find rest from the dominion, the slavery of sin, and rest from the terror of judgment for our sin when we trust in Jesus Christ and come to him because he suffered our judgment. In other words, when you have rest, there's peace because the sin problem is dealt with. Jesus gives rest to those who come to him. Isn't sin exhausting? Isn't it? It's tiring, isn't it? Without Jesus Christ, there is no rest. There's no peace of conscience. There's no rest in life. Indeed, I've read these verses to you before, but let me read them again. It says in the book of Isaiah in chapter 57, verse 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. The wicked, as we well know in this metaphor in Isaiah in chapter 57, the wicked are pictured like the troubled sea. The sea never stops, ever. It never stops moving, the currents. It's always moving. It's agitated. It's troubled. It's going in different directions. That's what sin does. Restless, inwardly agitated, tiring, never finished, never satisfied, stirring up mire and dirt. Sometimes worse than others. There is no peace. There is no rest in a life under the slavery of sin. That's why Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Because sin is aggressive, it's annoying, and you know what? It's real tiring. It wears you out. To be under sin wears you out in your life. You become weary. We know the truth of that. We don't have any peace. Remember, no doubt Mark and David and I certainly myself remember the weariness of sin. Going out and getting drunk, remember? The pleasure is fleeting for a small, short time. But the next morning, the hangover all day, the sore head, sometimes vomiting and being sick. Remember? Tired all the next day, weary, wanting to go to sleep. Not to mention all the money wasted. And it took to the next day to get over it. The weariness of the pleasure of sin. There's no rest in sin. Remember the arguments and the fights you get into? Not even mentioning the bruises and the embarrassing things we did and said. There wasn't much peace in a life of sin. There wasn't much rest. Sure there wasn't. It wasn't restful at all. Doesn't it make a great difference when you come to Jesus Christ and he says, I will give you rest and peace for your soul, peace of conscience. In all other areas of worldly life, not just getting drunk, every area, in all other areas of worldly life, I would ask you, where is the peace? Where is the rest? There isn't any. Some people live a life of dishonesty, trying to trick others. Do they live a life of rest and peace? No. Because you have to try and keep up with the lies you've already told. And then eventually you get mixed up and you forget who you've told what. And then it comes out there's no rest. Or some people live a life that's immoral. Not just sexually, but any kind of immorality. But it's not a restful life. There's no peace and rest. Sure there's not. Because it's all secrets and hidden and not being seen. There's nothing restful about it. It's wearying. And then some people live a life of drugs, especially in our day. I remember I told you before about a fellow I didn't know him much. I just seen him a few times. We used to call him the nervous chimp. He was a young fellow in his 20s and he hung around one of my friend's house. And he was a small-time drug dealer. Small-time. That fellow was paranoid. He was a nervous wreck. He would jump if a door opened. Oh, he's looking for the police and all this. Yeah, there was no rest, let me assure you, and no peace. Now, some people live a life of striving for promotion. They're already mad if they're striving for promotion. The last thing I wanted when I worked in a factory was promotion, and I got it. And I always wanted to just be back and have no responsibilities, just to do your job. Oof. People live a life of striving for promotion. But it's not a restful life, sure it's not. Because you better watch your back. And you need to put yourself in a good light all the time, and others, well, not so good. A certain person said to me once about someone else in a government institution, he says, you know, you don't get that high up without trampling on people. But it's not worth it. Sure it isn't. Peace, rest, and peace of conscience. Not worth it. And some people live a life of keeping up with the Joneses. Oh my, my. That's not a very restful life. Sure it's not, because you have to change every time Joneses get something else. There's no rest and peace. I remember once a person telling me about grown-up ladies in school, teachers, lunchtime carers. You know what they used to argue about? Whose husband had the bigger size of neck on his shirt and how muscular he was and how he's bigger than him. Grown-up women, do you think that's a restful life? It's absolutely daft. Stupid people. That's what they are. Stupid. There's no rest and peace in a life of sin. Because God says, the wicked are like the troubled sea. It can't rest. Can't rest. And the troubled sea casts up mire and dirt, as it says in Isaiah. There is no peace for the wicked. But Jesus says, to those that are weary, those that are laboring under their sin, he gives the gracious and real invitation, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Rest and peace in your conscience, peace with God, and peace for yourself. Can't be found outside of Jesus. Can you put your head on the pillow at night and rest and be at peace? You should be able to if you're a Christian. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, to his disciples. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Jesus gives peace and rest to his people. Both in body and in soul. Is your spirit calm? Or is your spirit a raging torrent? That's the first 2 points from this passage. Number one, we see the gospel call preached. There's a gracious invitation. And secondly, the gospel peace is found only in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there's the gospel life lived or the gospel path walked, which is verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we see here a path, a life to be lived once we come to Christ. Christ doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you rest, and that's it. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest, and you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. There are two things that we need to notice. The Christian life is a life of learning, and the Christian life is a life of work. But the work, we note, is light. It's a life of learning. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What are we to learn? Meekness and lowliness. That's the two words that the Lord says. Christ-likeness. The word meek means gentle and mild. And lowly means of low degree, not rising above the ground, literally. Lowliness. So Christians are to be learners of meekness and lowliness. And secondly, Christians are workers, but the work is light. Because a yoke is a tool, it's an instrument by which two oxen or horses, whatever, are joined together, yoked together, to pull the plough. To plough in the same furrow and walk in the same direction. So it's a tool for working. But Christ says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, easy doesn't just mean easy. It means gracious, better, or kind. It's a gracious yoke. And my burden, my freight or load is light, means light in weight. So the gospel path that is to be walked, or the gospel life that's to be lived, once a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, is a life of sanctification. This is the practical outworking of the gospel, isn't it? We are to work, we are to walk on a path Christ's yoke is upon us. It's a gracious yoke. The burden of it is actually light, because Christianity is not a slave-driving legalism, nor is it like living under the burden of sin, because the burden of sin is slavery. We know that, don't we? Sin's burden, when we're not converted, we live under the power and dominion of sin, and sin enslaves the sinner. They cannot break free. But Jesus Christ frees us from the slavery to sin, and thereafter we take his yoke upon us and we walk after him and do his gracious work, which is light by comparison with the burden of sin. So we are not saved to lie around and do nothing but sleep, though that would be nice. But there is a gospel path, and the Christian is to learn as we live meekness and lowliness. And there's the gospel work of sanctification and witness. But the bottom line is this: Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew Henry says, "The rest that Jesus promises is a release from the drudgery of sin, but not from the service of God." We're not released from serving God. We're released from the drudgery of sin. I want to give you a quote from J.C. Ryle. Listen to what he says. No doubt, he's talking about the Christian life and the yoke that we bear. No doubt there are trials to be endured and battles to be fought. But the comforts of the gospel far outweigh the crosses. Compared to the service of the world and sin, compared to the yoke of Jewish ceremonies and the bondage of human superstition, Christ's service is in the highest sense easy and light. His yoke is no more burden than feathers are to a bird. His commandments are not grievous to us. His ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are peace. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, and Proverbs 3:17. Out from under the bondage of sin, set free to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bondage of superstition, he mentions. That's a great bondage to be out from under. You know, you hear people saying, "Well, you shouldn't have said that. You put a scud on it." As if you're going to make bad things happen because you said that. What a stupid, idiotic people come out with that. The bondage of superstition. Let's draw to a conclusion and challenge. Three points I've given you. Number one, the gospel call preached. The gospel call goes out to all who want release from the burden of sin. Number two, the gospel peace is found. In Christ alone, we have peace with God, peace with conscience, and peace with men. And number three, the gospel path walked. We serve Christ, we work for him, but his burden is light. His yoke is easy. I want to close by just saying two things. One, by what I thought, by way of clarity, I should say. Number one, some people, in the light of what I've said about Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, especially, might say, "Pastor, do you not believe in the free offer of the gospel?" You see, in Reformed circles for the last 30 years, there's been a bit of a debate about the free offer of the gospel. We offer the gospel to all sinners, and those that believe are God's, and they come, and so on. But then hyper-Calvinists don't believe in the free offer of the gospel, and they say, "No, we can't just do that. We're only to offer the gospel to those that are the elect, which is of course a daft idea, because how do we know who's elect before they hear the gospel anyway? So that's about where this is coming from. Do you not believe in the free offer of the gospel? Because you have said only sinners who are conscious and sensible of their sin are called to come. Well, I must say, I do believe in the free offer of the gospel. And this passage actually teaches the free offer of the gospel. Because the offer, or the invitation, if you want to call that, of Jesus Christ in this passage is not limited. And to think so is to look at it in the wrong way. Jesus Christ was preaching that day to a multitude of people. Right? And he does not limit his preaching or restrict it to a certain group within that multitude of people. He's preaching to them all. He preaches the gospel to them all. And he calls all, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now note, the limit or the restriction is found not in the offer, but in the hearers themselves. The question, you see, is, do the people listening see themselves as labouring and heavy laden under the burden of sin? Do they see themselves as sinners and want to be released from the burden of sin? It is the sinners, the people that are listening, it is their attitude to him or herself that is the only limit or restriction. The gospel is salvation to sinners. All sinners are to be offered the gospel. The gospel is received by those who see themselves as sinners and see that they need to be forgiven. The restriction of the gospel is not in who it's offered to, because Christ preached to the whole multitudes. But the restriction of the gospel is found in the attitude or the heart of those that hear it. It is those who know and confess, I am a sinner. It's they who receive the gospel. Others who think, I'm okay, I don't need that, they won't come and they won't be saved. But the only person that there is to blame is themselves. It is their own wrong self-perception that hinders them coming. The free offer doesn't hinder them. It's how they see themselves that is the barrier to their own salvation. The gospel saves conscious sinners. And secondly, of course, then the gospel invitation. Sinners, wherever you are, will you come? All people are sinners. We know that. We are all born in sin. And whether you believe you're a sinner or not really makes no difference. You are a sinner, and that's all there is to it. But the question is, do you know that you're a sinner? Do you feel that you're a sinner? Do you admit that you're a sinner? Are you burdened by being a sinner? Do you desire to be better and be forgiven of your sins? Then come to Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives sinners and sets them free from the bondage of sin. Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, wrote a hymn. Charles Wesley was a good man. Listen to this verse. This was in, I didn't look it up, it was in my mind. You know the way you sign things and it stays in your mind. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Fast bound in sin and nature's night. And then he says, thine eye, speaking of God, diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Charles Wesley was a Reformed Calvinist. That's that doctrine. Slave to sin. Bondage in a dark dungeon of sin. Nature's night. Original sin, that's the bondage. The sovereign God diffuses a quickening ray. What's quickening mean? New birth. God causes the new birth. What happens next? I woke. And when I awake, being born again, the dungeon flames with light. And then his chains fall off. The bondage falls off and his heart's free. And he goes forth and follows Jesus Christ. That's the truth, isn't it? In man's words. Sinners come to Christ. Christ breaks them free from the bondage of sin. It's happening around this world today. We're talking the wee prayer meeting. It doesn't happen too often in our country. Because our nation is a wicked nation under God's chastisement. But it's happening all, especially in the east of the world. It's happening in China. It's happening in the Philippines. The Philippines pastors, by the way, are listening to these sermons. And they're worshipping God with us. Even today. It would be a different time. But we rejoice in the blessing that they have over there. They preach the gospel. And sinners get converted. And churches are planted. And we join in rejoicing with them in that. Pastor Kim and Pastor Lopez. We want to encourage them to pray for us over here, where virtually nobody gets converted, as we pray for them over there. Because it's the same gospel. It's the same invitation, and it deals with the same old problem of sin. So I close by saying this. Jesus says this to a mixed multitude of all kinds of people. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Thanks for listening this morning.